along to this week's assist brought to you in association with Free Super Tips. I'm Warren Ashurst, and alongside me this week again are Mark Langdon and Dan Childs. And before we get headfirst into this weekend's action in both the Premier League and the EFL, we'll have a quick reflection on what's been a busy week of international or European football, I should say, in terms of the final round of the league phase of the Champions League. Mark, we'll start with you first, a reflection of the overall league format and what we think of the change in style.
I definitely think that the sort of change has helped. I mean, we might not have gone the whole way. 36 teams trying to sort of understand where you are in a league table that big is quite tricky. But I think the kind of the general, I suppose, vibes really from UEFA was they wanted more of the bigger teams to play each other earlier on in the competition. And we got that. Basically, every time there was a Champions League match day, you had a look at the coupon. There were at least a couple of games that you wanted to watch. And I'm not sure that that was always the case during the group stage. And it felt like there were fewer dead rubbers towards the end of the competition as well. Quite often we just saw big teams like already through after three or four matches. I like the fact that you don't get these teams dropping down into the Europa League. I think that's sort of unfair. You know, if you've done poorly in one competition, I don't see why you should get another crack at it elsewhere. And so I think overall, I'd say it was a net positive. The negative is that I don't think we need 8 matches. I think that is probably, too much. You know, the league phase finishes the end of January and then mid-February, the kind of knockout start, and it has been fairly relentless. But overall, I mean, given most things that UEFA and FIFA change seems to make the game worse. I don't think that's happened this time around.
And Dan, I suppose we couldn't really have asked for much better in terms of the British clubs. 3 teams automatically through to the last 16, and Celtic and Manchester City have got a chance via the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you probably wouldn't have thought, it would have gone that way with Manchester City, maybe with a long format. Sometimes you always get the feeling some of these bigger teams in it of maybe because there's 8 games, there's almost a feeling that, we can sort this out later on in the competition, and there's maybe not enough intensity put into them earlier games. And they're not the only one. Real Madrid had a few early, bad results early on, didn't they? So it's a lot of the big clubs maybe lack the intensity of some of the smaller teams they're up against early on. But I agree with Mark about, it was a very exciting, certainly final day, but you have to go through, a lot of the earlier games to get to that point. I don't think there's going to be a reduction on the way, though. I think one of the main reasons for it was to increase the number of games, increase the revenue. So, but yeah, certainly positive overall.
Yep. Well, we'll see how it progresses now when we get into the playoff and last 16 stage. We'll turn our attentions now to the Premier League. And of course, as ever, we'll start off with the big match of the weekend. And no doubt about it, Sunday at 4:30 is the biggest game of this weekend in the Premier League, as Arsenal play host to Manchester City at the Emirates. Arsenal 11-10 to claim the victory, City 12-5, and the draw 13-5. Mark, we'll start with you first in terms of the fallout from Wednesday and City in the Champions League. I mean, on the positive side, they showed a bit of, a bit of an edge to come back from being 1-0 down against Bruges. But again, losing at half-time, Pep Guardiola was possibly scratching his head.
Well, yeah, I mean, he scratched more than his head, hasn't he, this season? He had those scratches on his face earlier on in the campaign. I think the main thing and the only thing that mattered was getting through at that particular time. The fact that they've ended up in a section of the draw that means they've got to play Real Madrid or Bayern Munich next, is not great from City's point of view. I mean, they've ended up in a horrendous little section of the draw. Most of it was of their own doing. You could look at that game against Bruges two ways. The first being that, all of the old kind of problems that they've had since Rodri left were exposed by Bruges, who just sort of ran unopposed, basically, for their counter-attacking goal. But then they did find a way to fight back. They had a lot of pressure on them in that second half, and they've scored 3 goals against a decent Bruges side. Stones missed a sitter as well. And so I tend to think that we didn't really learn anything new from City. They are more vulnerable defensively without Rodri. But I do think that sort of over the last month to 6 weeks, the forward line has started to get into some kind of gear. And, you know, that was evident in that second half when they deservedly won the game after a sluggish start.
We'll talk Arsenal in a moment, but Dan, just another word on City, because we said that probably the only way they were going to properly turn this bad run around that they've had was to bring in some new faces. Marmoush, Kuchinov and Risa, the three new faces in particular, have come in to try and bolster the squad. What have you made of the transfer activity?
Marmoush and Kuchinov, I mean, they had kind of mixed games, didn't they, last weekend against Chelsea. I mean, Marmoush looked very bright, didn't he? Very lively going forward, looked a decent player. Kuchinov had a nightmare start, didn't he, where he gave the early goal away and he looked very nervy. I think they were probably would have, you know, liked to have maybe brought him off at half-time but didn't want to damage his confidence. But, you know, they didn't waste very long in the second half, did they, taking him off? I mean, I'm sure he'll probably settle down, but certainly it wasn't a great debut from him. I think City, I mean, go back to the Bruges game, their performance really until they equalised wasn't that great. Although I must admit, I agree with Mark, I was impressed with Bruges. Bruges looked a very decent side and gave them a lot of problems. You know, comfortable on the ball. They didn't until they equalised. They were playing pretty nerveless football and a danger on the break. But I think for City at this stage that. Just it doesn't matter how you do it. The fact that they turned it round and got the result, you could see the reaction from Guardiola and the players at the end and the whole crowd. They was, you know, elated really to get through. Even though, as Mark's alluded to, they're going to be facing a tough games to come.
Now, indeed, starting off with this clash at the Emirates, Arsenal had, I suppose, a decent win in midweek against Girona because they made a few changes, Mark. But where are they for you at the moment?
Well, they're not playing, I don't think, at the level that is going to be required to overhaul Liverpool in terms of the Premier League. Not only do they need Liverpool to sort of drop their performances, Arsenal need to up it. And then in terms of the Champions League, I mean, they are probably well suited to like knockout football, you would say. And Saka coming back sort of, you know, for when the competition gets serious in the last couple of months, they're pretty solid defensively. They don't give much away. Like, you couldn't say, oh, you know, they're not going to win the Champions League. I mean, they're in with a fair chance of winning that competition. But I think in terms of the Premier League, like, they really need to start playing better. They ground it out against Wolves. You know, they were down to 10 men relatively early on in that game. So in the end, it's a good victory at Molineux. They beat a Spurs team that, you know, I think everybody knows is not in great shape at the moment. But outside of that, a lot of performances have not been at the level required and felt a bit desperation stakes, didn't it? Bidding $60 million for Ollie Watkins earlier on this week. I'm not saying Watkins is sort of would be a terrible signing, but I don't know where you pluck that one from, sort of, you know, in the final days of the transfer window. Dan, can you see the sense in sort of trying to bring Watkins in?
Well, they've been chasing a forward for a long time. I mean, my question would be that how likely is that move going to succeed? It almost seems to be one that's sort of put out there maybe to let the supporters know, oh, we are trying to sign a striker, because Aston Villa, you know, at this stage of the season, you know, we knew they were still going to be in the Champions League, whatever happened, you know, in their game this week. They're looking to strengthen, aren't they? They're not looking to dismantle their team. So I just don't see how, they could have seriously expected that to meet with a positive response.
I mean, I suppose if we are being positive about Arsenal, the fact that they managed to get that win against Wolves, playing for the majority with 10 men, and then Lewis Skelly's had his red card overturned this week, it gives them a little bit of positivity, Dan, going into this one.
Yeah, and they're almost suited to a grind at the moment, aren't they, Arsenal? Mm. You maybe think that, you know, they relish that. You know, they've gone down to 10 men at Wolves, and I thought the red card decision was very, very harsh. But they seem to come into their own there. That's where their structure and their improved defensive work over the last year or so comes into its own. And they find a way. But my worry with them is ever since they weren't massively free-flowing earlier in the season. They've had issues. That Odegaard was out earlier in the season, and then losing Saka, you know, in the game against Crystal Palace. Since that Crystal Palace game, there's not been much free-flowing football from them. It just looks like hard work for them winning matches.
Okay, well, that all said, we're looking at what our best bets are in terms of the big match of the weekend. Mark, we'll start with you. Where's the value for you?
I'm going to go for Man City or draw double chance in the game. I mean, when I priced it up, I had Arsenal 11-10. So I think the market's about right, but there are some firms that are kind of tipping towards Arsenal or odds on. And I think that is on the sort of short side. You know, they beat Wolves, they beat Tottenham, but there's two teams, you know, right down in the bottom part of the table. You look at the other results, drew with Brighton, drew against Man United in normal time, drew with Aston Villa, Newcastle beat them in the League Cup as well. So they've probably got a bit more to prove almost than a City side that's clearly not firing on all cylinders. That's reflected in the prices. And like Dan said earlier, I liked Mamouche. I thought he really sort of gave a new dimension to that City attack.
Dan, how do you see it going?
I quite like City here, actually, at the prices. Going to go with City, draw no bets. I just think they've got a little bit more looking at the teams, you know, offensively than Arsenal. You take Saka out of that Arsenal side, City, you know, with Mamouche, Haaland, De Bruyne, they've got more, you know, going forward. And although they're not anywhere near the best, they have actually, under the radar, picked up 13 points from their last five Premier League games, which is, you know, a pretty decent, you know, recent run of form. Arsenal, as I've mentioned, since Saka, winning games just seems to be hard work. You know, City, you know, are picking up a little bit. The massive boost as well, you know, to come from behind and win that game against Bruges. They can now have a little look at the Premier League. They're only 6 points actually behind Arsenal going into this, so it's a big chance for them to close that gap. I think they might just do it.
Just a reminder that it is a Sunday 4:30 kickoff at the Emirates for Arsenal against Manchester City. Time now to look at the rest of the Premier League, and I'm delighted, like I'm sure pretty much everybody is, to say that it will be the start of February at the weekend, the longest ever month known to man, I think, in terms of January 2025. But Saturday, the 1st of February, we'll see a 12:30 kickoff at the City Ground for Nottingham Forest against Brighton. A lot of surprise results across the board, I think, in the Premier League last weekend, and it'll be interesting to see how teams react to how things developed last week. Forest 7-5 to pick up the victory. It's 9-5 Brighton and 13-5 the draw. I don't think anybody was expecting what happened to Forest last week, Dan.
No, I mean, I fancied them, didn't I? I went with them on the draw, no bet, I think, at Bournemouth. But I don't like the knee-jerk after one game. But to lose a game 5-0, I just think it does take a little bit of recovering from mentally. So even though you can look at the table and think Forest are at home here, and you could make a case for them based on that, on the long-term form, I just think Brighton, they're doing better away from home at the moment than they are at home. They had that kind of smash and grab against them, didn't they, against Everton last weekend. But away from home, the FA Cup 4-0 at Norwich, beat Ipswich 2-0, Man United 3-1. They're doing very well on the travels, Brighton. When teams come onto them and they get a little bit more room to play, Forest, you know, they're not a team that press too high up the pitch, but at home they're going to be under pressure to at least be a little bit front footed, and I can see Brighton maybe nicking this. Going to go with Brighton on the draw, no bet.
Yeah, it's a tricky one for Forest, Mark, having to react from that defeat and against a team like Brighton, who can be unpredictable and capable of beating anybody on the road.
Yeah, I think Brighton are quite predictable, though. I think that they're good when they've got space, and they're not so good when they haven't got space. And I know that Forest are at home, but, you know, Nuno, he's not the most adventurous coach. I think he will sort of sit in and respect what Brighton sort of do with the ball. And that's why I'm going for Nottingham Forest draw no bet. So the complete opposite to Dan. So I don't know if we're helping punters here too much. But, you know, that 5-0 defeat against Bournemouth, it was their first loss since, what, City in December. And then you have a look at the XG, and it was only 1.7-1. So I'm just wondering if it was one of those days, really, where everything went wrong for Forest. And, you know, back at home as well, I would say that I think if you're a big team, a sort of, you know, expected to be up there, and you suffer a 5-0, I can see how that, you know, does knock you off your stride. I just wonder with Forest whether, you know, Nuno can just say to them, look, you know, get rid of that game. Look at the season as a whole. We're doing great. I mean, I don't think the fans will be kind of too upset, too angry. And that's normally when I don't like it. You know, when a kind of team with expectations gets thumped, I then wonder about them when they're playing at home next time. I don't see a sort of negative reaction for Forest. So, yeah, I thought they'd be a bit shorter than 4-5 on the draw, no bet.
Well, there are four games kicking off at 3 o'clock on Saturday, and probably the most intriguing of them is at the Vitality Stadium, Bournemouth against league leaders Liverpool. Bournemouth 7-2, it's 100-30 the draw, and 4-6 Liverpool. I mean, Bournemouth, Mark, have already got the scalps of Arsenal, Manchester City, and as we said, Forest this season. Could they do it again with the leaders?
They could, yeah, they could. I mean, Iriola's, you know, a fine coach, clearly, that's obvious. I'm just wondering, though, at some stage, and we've mentioned it last couple of weeks, and actually they've been able to overcome those injuries, but they have still got a lot of injuries, Bournemouth. And I mentioned sort of the XG a bit earlier on. They've scored 11 goals in the last three games from 4.9 expected goals. So that has got to slow down at some stage. And Liverpool rested loads of players in midweek, barely had a game in Eindhoven. So I thought Liverpool 8-11. I wouldn't want to go any shorter than that, but I still felt that was a fair enough price for the Merseysiders against injury hit Bournemouth. If it was full strength Bournemouth, not so sure, but they have got those injuries.
I think a lot of Liverpool fans down feel like this is a key game for them. If they can come out unscathed off the back of this, and with Arsenal playing City, it could be a crucial weekend.
Yeah, I'm not sure they will come out of it unscathed as well. My doubt with Bournemouth, with the main with the injuries, was the centre-forward, and I think they were worried themselves about it. You know, Lever Nielsen was starting to play well and was quite a focal point for them, but other players have really stepped up. I mean, you know, the likes of Cliver, Ouattara, you know, both got hat-tricks recently. Semenyo's still playing really well, and they're such a threat, aren't they, on the break? With teams that come onto them, Liverpool will... I mean, they're not as a different type of team that they were under Klopp, but they will. They're still a front foot team. They'll come on to them, and Bournemouth are going to be a big threat with their pace and movement on the break. And maybe the last couple of games that they were lucky to win by the margins that they did, but they're 12 games unbeaten now, so they've been very, very good for a long time. I'll compare them to sort of Spurs with the number of injuries they got, but unlike Spurs, they're not having to play midweek games. So at least the players that are playing, they're not having to go twice a week. So I just think they might have another big performance in them, and I'm going to back them to get a draw here. I think it's overpriced.
Well, Everton are on a David Moyes revival at the moment as they have put back-to-back wins together to move them further clear of the relegation zone. They face a big clash against Leicester this weekend at Goodison Park. It's 4-5 the Toffees, 27-10 the draw, and 7-2 Leicester. Dan, we'll start with you with this one. Let's start with Everton then. Like you said a bit earlier on, a little bit of a smash and grab against Brighton, but certainly David Moyes seems to be getting the best out of the team.
Yeah, but a big smash and grab. It was 16 shots to three that game. Obviously, the penalty won it for Everton. I mean, their XG was still under one, despite, you know, scoring a penalty, which kind of gives you an idea of how much you know, alternative attacking threat they had. I don't rate Leicester, I've got to say, but that's a big win for them to go and win at Spurs. I know Spurs have got so many injuries and depleted, but it's going to give them a huge lift. And Everton, they've had them two wins, which is a big boost, but Calvert-Lewin's injured at the moment. They don't score many goals anyway. And I just think this is a game that you're struggling to see a lot of goals. You know, Everton are, you know, going to put it on Leicester, play direct. I just think that Leicester, you know, may be, you know, able to cope with that. And I can see a tight game, low scoring. So in that case, the draw looks overpriced to me. Going to go with the draw.
What about you, Mark? Is there a chance for Leicester here to probably close the gap on Everton?
Yeah, I mean, there is a chance. I mean, I'd be very nervous about backing Everton at odds on. It just doesn't sit right with me when we're thinking of backing Everton at odds on. I maintain that Leicester are a bad side. I think they kind of probably played Spurs at the right time last week. I'm going to go for Ndiaye to score the first goal. Looks the biggest threat. He's on the pens as well, as we know from last week. He's got he's scored in four of his last seven games as well since Christmas. So, I mean, if Everton are to win, and Dier looks the man most likely. And, you know, given that Everton are odds on, I'd rather take like 15 to 2 that he gets the first goal, because, like Dan said, I don't think there'll be many of them.
I'm going to make sure that Dan and Mark can't mention the term six-pointer when we discuss the next, because Portman Road is the venue for Ipswich against Southampton. The home team 19-20 to claim the win. It's 29-10 Saints, and the draw is 13-5. I mean, Ipswich's home form has probably been the one thing that's let them down more than anything, Mark, so far this season. If they can't get 3 points from this, you start to wonder whether it's going to be a bridge too far for them.
Yeah, it's a massive game. Again, like Ipswich being odds on might make people nervous, but I'm okay with backing Ipswich at shade of odds on for this game. They've had really hard matches recently against Man City and Liverpool. It wasn't that long ago. You mentioned home form's not been great, but it really wasn't that long ago. They were beating Chelsea. And then they also drew at Fulham. So, you know, Southampton are rooted to the bottom of the table, clearly going to get relegated. And I think this is the sort of game, in a couple of months' time, Ipswich would be silly short, because it's like, oh, they need to win. But I think they'll almost have that kind of laser focus on this game. It does, I hate to say sort of must win, because it feels sort of the Paul Merson, you know, he has about 25 must win games a week. But it does feel like this is the kind of game where really, if Ipswich don't win, the deflation around the stadium and in the squad is going to be huge. I think Ipswich, the extra motivation, I think they're just a better side as well than Southampton. So I'll go for the Tractor Boys to get three huge points.
Remember, Dan, the deflation for Southampton in the reverse fixture when Ipswich scored in stoppage time to equalise at St Mary's. It's that sort of way that, you know, if they could to get a win, Ipswich have that momentum going forward.
Absolutely. I think they'll probably get the win. I think it's a huge game, actually, for both sides. I mean, the crazy thing is, although Southampton have got 6 points, which is just a ridiculously poor, because the other teams above them have been on really poor runs, Ipswich, Leicester until last week have lost 7 in a row, Wolves have lost 4 in a row. They're detached, but if they actually could put a couple of wins together and maybe beat a few of the teams around them, it's not completely unthinkable that they might, you know, give themselves a bit of hope. But this is a game that they would have to win to at least start that off. But I don't think they're going to do it. I just think that they're so poor in both boxes, Southampton, you know, to just give up far too many goals. Even with a new manager coming in, they're still, you know, even when they get off to a good start like they did against Newcastle, they capitulate and lose 3-1. And Ipswich, as I mentioned last week, they've got these two. They've played Man City and Liverpool home and away now. They're still, you know, in a reasonably competitive position down there. My worry is that just at the odds, they've only won one. Mark mentioned the Chelsea game. That's the only game they've won at home all season. And I would just be worried about backing them at the odds. I think they'll probably win. Going to go with Delap, who's got 8 of their goals. Great effort for a struggling team. Going to go with Delap to score first at 4-1.
The fourth and final 3 o'clock kickoff is at St James's Park. A long trip north for Fulham as they take on Newcastle. The hosts are 7-10. It's 3-1 the draw and 15-4 Fulham. Dan, Fulham are a tricky team to work out at the moment. Too many draws for me recently, but the type of team that can cause you problems, especially if you're at home and having to come out against them.
Yeah, they are what they are, Fulham. They're a very good footballing side, very well drilled, well organised, but they haven't got the offensive quality that some of the, you know, most of the teams above them have. So it restricts them a little bit. But, you know, they're going along well and they're a danger to sides. You know, and that's why I wouldn't be wanting to pile into Newcastle at the, you know, odds on, because Newcastle have had a few iffy home results. They've got reputation over the years. They've had very, very strong home form, but they've had a loss at home to Brighton, a loss at home to West Ham, lost, you know, last home game against Bournemouth 4-1. So I'm just I would be a bit concerned about piling in at those odds. I think a little bit like the Ipswich Southampton guys, I do think they'll probably win, but I'm going to go for the man at the moment, Isak. You know, he's on absolutely fantastic form. I took a look at his anytime price, his odds against to score anytime for a home game where your odds on to win, I think that's reasonable. Isak to score anytime.
Do you think, Mark, that display and more the result against Bournemouth might have a few skeletons in the wardrobe for Newcastle going into this?
Maybe. I mean, they were on a good run prior to that. I'm wondering if they've got the Arsenal game slightly on their minds. You know, obviously been a long time since Newcastle won a trophy. They've got a two-goal lead against Arsenal on Wednesday. I'm not saying they'll rest players, but I do wonder if you only have to take your mind, you know, you have to be like 5% off it, and all of a sudden in the Premier League, like, that becomes a problem if you're somebody like Newcastle. Maybe Liverpool can sort of do that. I like the look of the draw in this game. Fulham have already, you know, shown that they can do it away from home. They drew at Liverpool. They won at Forest. They won at Chelsea. They sort of drew at Spurs when that was considered sort of a good result as well. So they are a difficult team to put away. You know, Arsenal struggled against them sort of last couple of seasons as well. So, yeah, I wouldn't be backing Newcastle at the price, that's for sure.
Well, Saturday's 5:30 game is a West Midlands derby at Molineux as Wolves play host to Aston Villa. Wolves 23-10, the draw 13-5, and it's 11-10 Villa. I just wonder how much that Celtic game will have taken out of Villa, Mark, going into this game.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, an emotional night. They obviously qualified top eight now in Champions League. That's a great achievement for them. I don't think they had particularly easy fixtures along the way. You know, beating Bayern Munich was the highlight. Fully deserved to beat Celtic. It was only really some sloppy play really that enabled Celtic to get back into the game at 2-2, but you know, they had to win it twice almost. They all, you know, missed a penalty. The concern would be just how, if they're unsettled in any way. You know, Duran's been linked with a move to Saudi Arabia. Watkins has transfer talk with Arsenal. It just isn't, it's not amazing really, I think, if you're trying to build something when you know, that those distractions can get in the way. In terms of this game, I'm not going for a big price, but I am going for one that I like the look of. I think both teams to score is the way to go with it. I've got it in one of my sort of best bets for later on, so I'll maybe save the reasoning for them. But I think it'll be a high-scoring game at Molineux. I'm not sure Villa are capable of doing anything else really at the moment.
No, it's a difficult one to call when you consider how important it is to Wolves and that game in midweek for Villa. Dan, how do you see it going?
Yeah, it's probably more important to Wolves, but you know, Villa, they're eighth. They're having a solid enough season in the Premier League, not too far off the, you know, a lot of the teams above them. They're 21 points, you know, above Wolves, so there's a big gap here in quality between the teams. And I just don't think that's reflected in the prices. You know, shade of odds against Villa for me. I think the fact it's a derby as well, you know, it's probably a good game for them to get up for, you know, if you are feeling a little bit, you know, tired and jaded. And the fact that they won the Celtic game, I think that the tiredness is more of an issue in a game like that if you don't get the result. The fact that they got the result and they're jubilant, a little bit like with Man City, you know, I expect them to kick on. And similar with Villa, I just think Wolves, they had an initial upturn under Pereira, lost four in a row now. That performance against Arsenal, when you've got the, you know, the leg up or the red card, they didn't really capitalise on it. There was discontent in the fans chanting against the owners. I just don't think it's a happy place at the moment. Villa to win for me.
Let's move on to Sunday then now. The first of the 2 o'clock kickoffs takes place at the GTEC Community Stadium. Brentford against Tottenham. The Bees for this game are around 11-10. Tottenham 11-5 and the draw 29-10. I'll be fully honest, I was not expecting to be doing the assist on the Thursday and Ange Postecoglou to still be in a job after that defeat against Leicester last week. But it seems for the time being that Daniel Levy's going to stick with him, Dan, and he needs a result from somewhere.
Yeah, I've obviously got the you know, which a very important game against Elfsborg to come first, which, you know, Spurs, you know, to make sure of avoiding another two games in February and having an eight game February, they need to win that game. So we'll have to wait to see what comes out of that. You know, certainly going to have to go as strong as he can against Elfsborg, and then you wonder, you know, Spurs seem to always pick up an injury every game at the moment, don't they? They're waiting and they're getting players sort of dribbling back. Van de Ven, Romero back in training, you know, ahead of the game against Elfsborg. But you still wonder what kind of state they're going to be in at the weekend. They're picking up like attacking injuries now as well. You know, Solanke lost recently. Madison's now out for 2 to 3 weeks. You know, Johnson on the injury list as well. So I just think that it's a great time still to play them, and I'd fancy Brentford to get the win. Now, the price is Brentford are only a shade of odds against, so I think that, you know, any juice really has gone out of that price, you know, to call it a great value bet. But Brentford have been so strong at home, had a really good away result at Palace, who have been in form as well last weekend, and I think they'll probably win a higher scoring game. Spurs tend to score, so I go with Brentford and both teams to score, looks a price to me.
I imagine, Mark, that the Brentford front line, the likes of Visser and Mbeumo, will be licking their lips at the prospect of facing a really impacted, shall we say, Tottenham back line because of injuries.
Yeah, but I mean, it depends who's back. I mean, Jed Spence, Postecoglou said he'll be back. I think he is sort of better than some of the other options that they've got. Van de Ven, whether he starts against Elfsborg, not so sure, but he's back in sort of full training now. Like, that could make the defence look a fair bit sort of stronger. Yeah. If it's sort of, I don't know, it might be, you know, Porro, Dragosin, Van de Ven, Spence, for instance, which actually, there's not too many excuses for, you know, being appalling at the back. I just can't, I'm struggling to get my head around the fact that Brentford are 11 to 10 to be, I know it's an injury hit and a sort of a crisis hit, Tottenham, but 11 to 10, they're basically saying that Brentford are as good as Tottenham. And I'm not sure about that, despite sort of Spurs' recent troubles. And I mean, sort of against Leicester, they went out like a light, but they've been away in Europe on the Thursday. I mean, playing at home on the Thursday is much more beneficial. It's an easier game as well on paper. And so, yeah, I'm going to go for Spurs or draw double chance. I just... yeah, Brentford at 11 to 10. Yeah, not sure. And we're going to get to Man United in a minute. I mean, Man United are the same price to beat Crystal Palace at home as what Brentford are to beat Tottenham at home. And I'm just going, well, I'm struggling with both of those.
Well, we'll get on to that now, because Manchester United, Crystal Palace is the other 2 o'clock game at Old Trafford. And as Mark says there, United are 11 to 10. It's 5 to 2 Palace and 12 to 5 the draw. We've talked so much about Manchester United in recent weeks, Mark, and we seem to sway from one side to the other. Performances seem to improve. I mean, they got that win at Fulham, whether it was completely deserved, you know, you could argue about, but they have to try and build on that now.
They do, yeah. I mean, but their odds against to beat Crystal Palace at home. And so bookmakers are basically saying here that there's no difference between, if Man United played Crystal Palace, neutral venue, they'd be about the same. I think United, I mean, that does a disservice to United. Now, I know expected goals would say that actually United and Palace are of the same level. I just think there's more potential for United to get it right as the season goes on. It's bit by bit with Amorim. I think you will get inconsistency, but they are, I would say, fighting more than what they were under Ten Hag. I would say that they are slightly more organised. I don't think it's perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But Palace have also lost Shalabar. And the fact that he's playing in Chelsea's back four now tells you sort of what they think of him, you know, that they took him back. So they were, you know, beaten by Brentford last week. So it's not like they're absolutely perfect themselves. And yeah, 11 to 10, I'm going to back Man United.
One of our colleagues in the office this week described Ruben Amorim as the media man's joy, basically, because he'll basically come out with a comment each week which will give them lines and lines to write about. The worst Premier League Manchester United team there's been. Rather have his goalkeeper coach than Marcus Rashford on the bench. I mean, what might it be this week, Dan?
Yeah, he's just brutally honest, isn't he? I mean, statistically, they probably are the worst Man United team in the Premier League. You know, if they finish, you know, where they're headed for in the table, and he's just saying that, you know, until Rashford's, you know, changes, you know, whatever is happening in training there, that, you know, he would put anybody on the bench ahead of him. So he's refreshingly honest, and long may that continue, really. But for this game, I think Palace I understand about United, and the price looks tempting, but they've got to go to Bucharest still. They're still not mathematically, are they, you know, clear in the top eight in the Europa League. So they're coming back from Bucharest in the Europa League trip. And Palace are better away than they are at home. Got 16 points away, 11 at home. You know, they do counter-attack quite well. Last away game, they won at West Ham. West Ham were criticised for being really poor, but West Ham's results around that, they've actually performed okay. So maybe it's that Palace are decent away from home. Not so long ago, got that win at Brighton as well away from home. Big, you know, Eze back in the side has been a big reason behind their improvement. Sarr looks a massive threat for them on the break. And United could be a little bit tired, and they're not a great side anyway. So I think it is going to be an even game, and I would go for the draw.
Well, it's going to be an interesting Sunday, whichever way. 11 to 10, by the way, on Brentford, Man United and Arsenal. All the same prices for home wins on Sunday. One more game to look at in the Premier League, and that's Monday night, and a bit of a London derby at Stamford Bridge, where Chelsea take on West Ham. Chelsea 4-11 to claim the victory. It's 13-2 West Ham, and the draw is 15-4. I mean, I know we've been glowing about Chelsea, and quite rightly at times this season, some of the football we've played, Dan. That looks like a very short price for me at home against West Ham.
I agree. And I just mentioned there about that West Ham performance against Palace being a bit of an outlier. Because since Potter's gone in there, I've seen some improvement. I've got to say that the FA Cup performance, although they went out against Villa, was very good. When they played, they had the win at home to Fulham in the league, and a very decent performance away to Villa last weekend. Maybe you could say Villa are distracted with a big Champions League game coming up. But from West Ham's point of view, they were worth at least a point, really, from that game. And you've got the prospect of possibly Bowen and Somerville are pushing to maybe be involved, possibly off the bench, but that could make a big difference for them. Paqueta's done an OK job as well, in an unfamiliar role leading the line. And there's improvement going on there from Potter. And Chelsea's, their run's gone a bit under the radar because there's some other big clubs struggling, like Man United and Spurs. They've had one win in seven. A lot of them games are... that have been odds on to win most of those matches. I thought they were poor as well. Against City, when they got a great start, profited from the mistake, took the lead, and then were poor for the rest of the game. City come back and won comfortably. So I think they're certainly well worth opposing at those odds. London derby, West Ham will be bang up for it. Players back, West Ham will draw double chance for me.
Mark, are you thinking along the same lines, or do you fancy a home win here?
No, along the same lines, just a different bet. I'm going for West Ham plus 1.5 on the handicap. So even if they lose by a goal, you're a winner. And yeah, I sort of just echo everything Dan's just said there. I don't think I need to repeat any of it.
That's the Premier League covered then. Up next is the EFL.
The big punting survey is back. Punters, it's time to have your voice heard on major betting issues. Plus, you'll automatically be entered into a prize draw for one of 5 £50 Amazon vouchers. Visit racingpost.com/BPS or scan the QR code to take the survey today.
So our match in focus in the EFL this week takes place at Home Park, where Plymouth and West Brom do battle on Saturday lunchtime. Plymouth, of course, towards the bottom end of the table. West Brom have got their sights set on potentially going up via the playoffs this season. First off, Dan, great to see Tony Mowbray back, and I think delight around the Hawthorns also to see him back in the dugout there.
Yeah, I think he's well liked. I mean, firstly, he seems to be a very decent human being, which is one of the big reasons, and also because his teams just they do play really nice attacking football as well. Most of his teams, whenever you watch them, they're a joy to watch. And he's gone in at West Brom, who have been very well coached under Corberan, but quite a regimented sort of team. And straight away, you can see there's an attacking style developing immediately. He's gone with Portsmouth at home last week with Mowat and Swift, attacking midfielders in the central midfield roles in a 4-4-2. Fellows and Mikey Johnston wide and a front two. And they 4-0 up at half time, going to win 5-1, and the crowd were absolutely loved it. So you can see the way he's going to go about it. They've had a lot of draws this season, West Brom. I don't think there's going to be as many draws certainly for the rest of the season. From Plymouth's point of view, they've gone and got 2-2 at Sunderland, and apparently played very, very well in that game. Were well worth the draw there. So there's just some signs there that with players coming back, they're not totally detached. That maybe they'll have a chance of pulling some of them teams in above them. But the defensive record at the moment is the worst in the EFL, 62 goals conceded. And against that, West Brom team with Mowbray getting them to really attack, I think West Brom will just have a bit too much. So I'll go West Brom and both teams to score will be the bet.
Plymouth are 15-4, by the way, to collect the victory. It's 7-10 West Brom and the draw 27-10. So that is our feature game then in the EFL. Time now, though, to look at the rest of the EFL selections from Dan, who will give us normally three tips for the weekend. And where are we starting this week, Dan?
I'm going to start with a Championship team that dropped into the bottom three, Derby, at home to Sheffield United, who are second. And I'm going to go with Derby, draw no bet in this one. It might sound a bit crazy, but the Championship, anyone that watches it, it's a... you know, it's a very, very competitive, even game. Not a lot of difference between a lot of the teams. And Sheffield United lost 3-0 at home to Hull last Friday. I watched the game and they were really poor. They've had a lot of injuries now for a while and it's starting to really catch up with them. And I'm not sure there's going to be an immediate, you know, response to that. Now, Derby have lost 6 games in a row to drop into the bottom three. A lot of them games have been really tight. They were the better team for a long period against Cardiff until they conceded the first goal last weekend. They've had 6 of their 7 wins have come at home. They've beaten Middlesbrough at home, West Brom at home. New striker they got in, a Norwegian, the name escapes me at the minute, but he looked decent as well, scored in the game away to Cardiff last weekend. So I just think that they're a bit overpriced here. Going to go with them on the draw no bet. Now, following on from that, going to go into League One. Bolton, I'm going to back to win about away to Reading in a battle of the playoff chasing team. Sounds like Stephen Schumacher is the one that's going to get the Bolton job. But under Julian Darby, the caretaker, they've had an upturn. They've won 1-0 at Huddersfield, great win last weekend, and a 3-1 win at home to Northampton. Now they're going to Reading, who have lost 3 in a row, and their small squad is getting stretched. They lost 3-2 away to Burton on Tuesday. And I think given Bolton's resurgence and a new manager probably coming in, I think they'll go and win there. Finally, going to finish off with Colchester in League 2, away to Tranmere. Colchester didn't have a midweek game. Game at home to Port Vale was postponed, so they're nice and fresh going into it. They've also taken 7 points from the last 3 games. Not given up, I think, Colchester on pushing for the playoffs. Tranmere are sliding into trouble. They've had a really poor run. Lost 3-1 away to Swindon on Tuesday. Had 2 players sent off. They were leading, actually, 1-0 with 87 minutes gone. And then lost the game. You know, a massive hammer blow for them to lose that game. Cameron Norman and Drysdale, the red carded player, is going to be suspended. And apparently, according to Adkins, the manager, they had injuries in that game as well. So great chance for Colchester to go there and win.
OK, so just to remind you that Dan's EFL treble this week is Derby draw no bet, Bolton and Colchester. It's time for Mark now to give us his bet builder for this week. And what game are we looking at, Mark, for the bet builder?
So we're going to the Emirates. It's Arsenal against Man City. Felt only right, really, that we chose the biggest game for the bet builder. Both teams to score is the first leg. Now, Arsenal City games have tended to be a bit tetchy. Guardiola and Arteta, the last one wasn't too bad, but the two before that stunk the place out. But I mean, City just can't really defend at the moment. Only 3 away clean sheets in their last 16 road trips, and that was against Leicester, Ipswich and Slovan Bratislava. So, they're struggling defensively, but I like the look of their attack now. So this might actually be a better Arsenal v City game than we've sort of come to expect in recent seasons. I like Kovacic to be carded. The Arsenal fans will remember he should have been sent off at the Emirates. Was it last season when he was booked and then should have been booked again? He's had 6 cautions this season, and that includes last week against Chelsea. And he's basically the only defender in that side, really, in terms of the midfield. So he's having to do a lot of work there. And then I'm going for Gabriel to have a shot on target. Now, I'm not expecting that to be from open play for the centre-back to go up, but you know, he's caused City problems before, scored in the reverse fixture. But above sort of that, really, I was having a look at Arsenal and the amount of corners that they get. In their last 7 matches, they've had 67 corners. So it's almost like they play for them in some way. You remember when Stoke used to play for throw-ins and then Dilap used to launch it? Now, Arsenal are more than comfortable at winning corners. And if they get another, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10 corners in this game, Gabriel's the target, all of them. So hopefully he can get a shot on target. So both teams to score, Kovacic to be carded and Gabriel to have a shot on target.
So Mark always likes to give us a prop shop tip for the week as well. Just the one this week, Mark?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's at Old Trafford. Man United against Crystal Palace. Now, I said in the sort of match preview, I fancy United to win the game. The problem for United is they haven't got that many people that sort of score goals. But somebody that does step up is Bruno Fernandes. I'm backing him to score or assist in the game. It's around about 11 to 10 that he does one or the other. Since Ten Hag was sacked, Manchester United have played 13 Premier League games and Fernandes has scored or assisted in 8 of those. So, a good, respectable record given that we've got odds against, and I think Palace are fairly average opponents. But then I looked at the home games in all competitions since Ten Hag departed. They've had 11 of those and he's scored or assisted in 8 of them. So I think the stats are on our side here for Bruno. He's not loved, is he, by opposition fans? But if you back him to score or assist, it might help if he does score and then annoys you with his stupid celebration or something.
Okay, that's Mark's prop shop and his bet builder, of course, for this week. Time now for the assist treble. We had some success in midweek as well with Manchester City and both teams to score and victories for Real Madrid and Inter Milan. I wonder if we can back that up this week as well. Dan, we'll start with your assist treble selection first.
Yeah, going to go with Bolton to win away to Reading in League One. Bolton, since Ian Everett's sacking, had the wins against Huddersfield at home to Northampton. Reading lost 3 in a row. I'll just mention as well that two of them defeats, 3-1 at home to Stockport, 2-0 away to Leighton Orient, sort of playoff chasing teams who have a very similar ability to Bolton. I think Bolton will do a similar job on them.
And yours, Mark, what's your pick?
Yeah, Wolves v Aston Villa, both teams to score. Both teams actually have only got 3 Premier League clean sheets each this season. And if you sort of combine their BTTS stats, 68% of their games between them in the Premier League have seen both teams score. I know Wolves have failed to score in their last couple of home games, but it was always going to be a grind against Arsenal, even more so when the Gunners went down to 10 men. They had 6 shots on target against Forest, so I don't think there's sort of a fundamental problem there. Villa got defensive injuries at the moment, but always carry a threat in the forward areas. And I'm sure Rodgers will be absolutely flying after his hat-trick against Celtic in midweek.
And I'm going to dip into League One. I'm going with Leighton Orient to beat Stockport at 17-10, which I think is a really healthy price. Orient unbeaten 11 league games now, 9 wins and 2 draws during that run. And they've not conceded a goal in the last 6 at Brisbane Road either. Stockport have won the last 3, but they were against teams lower than them in the table, and they've only won 1 of the last 6 on the road. Orient beat Stockport 4-1 at Edgeley Park back in September. That, of course, was when Louis Barry was still at Stockport as well. He's now moved on. I think Richie Wellens is doing a great job at Leighton Orient, and I'm going with them this week. So the assist treble, just to remind you, Bolton, both teams to score between Wolves and Aston Villa and Leighton Orient. And we'll conclude this week's assist with the naps from Mark and Dan. Mark, we'll start with your nap first.
Yeah, London Derby on Monday, Chelsea against West Ham. I'm going for West Ham +1.5 goals on the handicap. Chelsea, only 1 win in 7 Premier League games. I thought they were really poor for sort of the vast majority of that game against Man City. Lacked belief once they went 1-0 up. City were on the ropes, and their lack of killer instinct really sort of came back to haunt them, really. And, Maresca was right, wasn't he, when he said that they're not sort of mature enough yet to be fighting for Premier League titles. London Derby, so I'm expecting West Ham to, be right up for it. And I think that they're, under Graham Potter, they have shown signs of an upturn in form, even if sort of the results haven't always gone for them. A couple of games against Aston Villa away, for instance, where they played both, in both games they played well. So I can see how Chelsea win the game, but I'm not sure that they'll be hammering the hammers.
Yeah, what about you, Dan? Who's your nap for this week?
Yeah, going to go with Colchester away to Tranmere in League 2. 11-8 looks a massive price to me. 3 successive clean sheets for Colchester. They're not scoring loads of goals, but I'd expect them to find one against Tranmere, who are going to be completely demoralised, I think, after that late collapse against Swindon, which leaves them just a few points above the League 2 relegation zone.
And that just about wraps up this week's edition of The Assist. It's goodbye from myself, Mark, and from Dan. And we do like to read your comments on the Racing Post YouTube channel. So leave us a comment or like and subscribe, of course, as well. And if you like your golf, then make sure you join Steve Palmer for The Sweet Spot every Tuesday. We'll be back next Thursday with another episode of The Assist. In the meantime, enjoy all the football this weekend. And please remember to gamble responsibly.